We thank our God again for another time in His presence. Let's take one or two songs together as we move on again.
Churches and fellowships cannot be more spiritual than the individuals and families that constitute them. God greatly desires a godly home front. These are words of restoration and instruction in righteousness from family to ministry. May you be blessed as you listen.
Today for our discipleship class. Unto you we gather, O Lord. Lord, we pray, let indeed our gathering be unto you in the name of Jesus. Lord, our God, we pray that as we fellowship together in scripture, as we fellowship together in your word, as we fellowship, O Lord, in the spirit, let your spirit walk among us in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, we pray. Meet us individually where we need you most. Give instruction and direction. Lord God Almighty, we pray for our brethren who are joining us on Telegram, who are joining us on this live, who are joining us, oh God, online. Lord, we pray. Together as one people, you will bless us. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. We have been looking at this topic, be ye holy, for I am holy. And we took that topic from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And what we have been able to do in the last 2 weeks having me to give a clear understanding of what led to that statement in verse 15. It says, but as he who called you is holy, be you holy. What led to that statement was what we have been looking at. And the primary thing about it is who we are, what God has prepared for us, what God, I'm looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1 through to that verse 14, you know, who we are, what God has prepared for us, where God is taking us to, and last week, God's estimation of material things, God's estimation of what true riches are. Those are the things we have considered in the past 2 weeks, trying to see that if we really know who we are, if we know what God has prepared for us, if we know what God has in store for us, if we know where God is taking us to, then too, if we understand what it really means to be prosperous, to be rich, because we look at Revelation last week, I would that you are rich. And we're looking at what it really means to be rich. I look at you are rich. And then if we have an understanding of all of that, we'll see why in all our conduct we cannot but be holy. That is what we have looked at in last week. Let us understand who we are. Let us understand what God has prepared for us. Let us understand what God is bringing us into. And let us understand what it means to be rich. What it means to be prosperous. If we have a clear understanding of things, we cannot but be holy as the Lord God who called us is holy. And so today, I want to move on from that point. Except if anybody has one of the things they want to say from what we look at last week. Is there any comment from last week? Any comment from last week, fellowship? Any comment? Is there any comment? Any high point of lesson? Any somebody has to tell us? Anything? Okay. So we want to move on from where we left it. I'm taking it from verse 14 today. As we want to look at the verse 14, I want to, about the matter of what it means to be rich. That was something we discussed last week. You know, in the course of the week, I had this understanding, and honestly, it made a lot of impression upon my life about this matter of prosperity. Where I got that from? Yeah. Just trying to expand what we discussed last week a little about what happened to me in the course of the book. You know, if you look at the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, much, I think anybody can quote that scripture offhand. This book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, so that thou mayest observe, I'm quoting King James, so that thou mayest observe to do according to that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You know, in the course of the week, I had a very strong impression. It says, so that you may observe to do according to what is there, then you will make the with us. Then I was wondering, what is this that is there? He says, so that you may observe
to do according to what is written. That's written is the word of God. So when we are able to observe and do according to the word of God, our way become prosperous. When we do according to his word. I was just looking at that when I got this light. When we look at being prosperous, what is fundamental about prosperity for any human being? That was what came. That was the thing. And you know, honestly, my mind just went back to some of the teachings we had. You remember when we were talking about man and his habitat? That the fishes, God said, let the water bring forth fish. And the water brought forth different kind of fish. And then everybody, then I will notice that those that the water brought forth, they live in water. Let the land bring forth its own. What happened again? Everything that the land brought forth, they live on land. Now, when it came to man, we said, God said, let us make man in our own image, which means the habitat of man is God. The more man lives inside God, the more is where he ought to be. So you know what just occurred to me is this. Take fish out of water and then give fish the best of food. What do you have to say? You have taken it out of water, but we now offer it the best of food, the best of everything, but the fish is not inside water. It cannot work. It's still going to die. You can't even eat the food. Because it first has to be in water. So it means the prosperity of a man is to be in God. Once he's outside God, everything you are offering him, kole, work. It cannot work. You know, last week we were looking at, you said you are rich. You know, you are rich, you are poor. This meditation just won, you know, just came fresh to me. And I said, wow, fundamental prosperity of a man, is to be in God. When a man is outside God, then he cannot actually be truly prosperous. He's not prosperous because actually he's dying. He may have the best of cars, the best of houses, the best of riches, but actually he's dying because he must first be in God. You know, that was just my meditation in the course of the week. And only it made me see why. If you say you are giving me money in exchange for my habitat, is it making any sense? What can you offer me therefore in exchange for my habitat? What can you offer me that can equate? Can you offer fish that can equate putting it in water? Please, is there anything? There is nothing. I now understood properly the verse. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what can a man exchange for his soul? So there is really nothing you can offer man. Just like the fish, there's nothing you can offer the fish that can equate to leaving it in water. In fact, if you offer it nothing and you leave it in water, it will not as fast. It will not even die at all. Because inside that water, it will find food. It will find something to eat. It is inside that water that everything matters. And that is it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all other things shall be added to you. So the fundamental prosperity of man is to be in God. If a man is outside God, he's in poverty, he's wretched, he's blind, he's miserable. Put the feed, the worm on the table. Packs of worm. The fish is wretched. The worm only has meaning if you throw it with the fish inside water. Let's have this understanding, and the Lord will bless us. You know, may the Lord continue to bless our understanding, you know, and increase. That was just what occurred to me in the course of the week. Just meditating on the matter of prosperity, and that word just came, the fundamental prosperity of man. And now I know that fundamentally, the first thing I needed to do to be prosperous is to observe to do according to all that is written here. That is my fundamental prosperity. That is when I can really make my way prosperous. Once I'm not like that, I am wretched. I am miserable. Just like the fish outside water. May we not be outside God. Amen. In all we think, in all we say, in all we do. In the name of Jesus Christ. That was my meditation. You know, but because it goes with what we are doing, I said I will just share that very quickly. And then we move on. We have to look at verse 14. It says, as obedient children, he has concluded in verse 13. That was when we stopped last week. He said, therefore, guide up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be completely sober.
In spirit.
Steadfast.
Self-discipline.
Spiritually and morally alert.
Don't put your hope in anything.
Please.
That's what we're talking about this week.
I couldn't emphasize this last week because we're rounding up.
If your hope is in anything apart from God.
When that's in your life.
Because don't forget, it's only God that remains constant.
Jesus today, yesterday, and forever.
The Bible talks about it in Hebrews.
It says God is going to shake everything unshakable.
So I can't take everything in the name.
And don't forget.
What is going to happen to the earth?
It's going to be burnt out with fire and everything in it.
So everywhere you put your hope, you will become hopeless.
The Bible says, let us put our hope completely on the grace of God.
That is coming when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Don't share your hope.
Don't put 99% there
and 5% here.
That 5% here will be a distraction to you.
Because if you want to take that thing away from you, it will affect your hope.
So let's put our hope on the grace of God that is to be.
Let's put our hope on that one that is to come.
Don't put your hope on anything that is very important.
People that will be able to live a holy life are people who don't put their hope in anything.
Let your hope be fully on what is to come.
And then we now enter the verse 14.
It says, as obedient children.
Not conforming yourself to your former lust in your ignorance.
If you look at the NLT,
He says, obey God
because you are his children.
Don't shoot back
into your ways of doing evil.
You didn't know any better then.
The NIV says, as Christian children,
do not conform to the desires you had.
When you live in ignorance.
I want to call your attention to this thing.
No matter how intelligent, smart, educated anybody is.
Any man who does evil is an ignorant man.
No matter how educated, no matter how intelligent, no matter how smart,
anybody may be.
Any man who does this is an ignorant person.
Men know, and they also don't do evil.
That is the point I want us to get.
People who know, and they also don't do evil.
So the Bible is saying that evil conduct.
He said, we should, as obedient children, we should not live in our former ways.
That former way that we did.
What do we mean when we say the man is ignorant?
It's only existing.
A man can be intelligent, but his ignorance.
When it comes to the matter of life, it's an ignoramus.
A man may be highly educated, but when it comes to the matter of life, it's an ignoramus.
A man may look smart, may look intelligent, but when it comes to the matter of life, it's an ignoramus.
So what the Bible says is that as obedient children, don't conform yourself to the desires you have when you live in ignorance, as obedient children.
And that brought us to where we took from.
But as he who called you is holy.
You also be holy in all your conduct.
You also be holy in all your conduct.
Because it is written,
Be ye holy, for I am holy.
Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy.
Now, brethren, we are going to start a journey that will take us to where this is.
Quotation taken from.
But like I mentioned earlier, I want us to remember again, just reminding us, I've said this earlier, I said righteousness is what?
Righteousness is what?
When you come to the New Testament,
The New Testament, under the New Covenant.
Righteousness is a gift.
We don't do anything to be righteous.
When we gave our life to Christ, we were made righteous.
It was put to us alongside with abundance of grace.
That grace was given to us.
We got righteousness as a gift.
Alongside with abundance of grace.
Now that grace that came with righteousness.
It is the purpose of that grace that it seems the New Testament doesn't understand.
The purpose of righteousness is that we are forever acceptable to God.
You are righteous before God. You have peace with God.
You are no more a sinner.
You are a child of God.
You are acceptable to God.
Not because of anything you are to do or you will do.
But because of God, Christ did.
When he said, it is finished.
Now,
where did the New Testament believer
are missing something?
Is that our provision
of Christ
that brought that righteousness?
Alongside, look at that Romans 5:17.
He said, those who receive abundance of grace
and the gift of righteousness.
Now the righteousness is emphasized.
But the grace is emphasized.
And what do I mean by that?
What I mean is that people talk about
we have been made right.
Positionally with God.
Now, in granting that righteousness,
in giving us that gift,
a gift also came along that did something.
Grace.
And that grace is not just small grace.
It is abundant grace.
Now, Romans 5:17.
Now, what is the purpose of that grace? I'm coming to this matter of conduct.
I've mentioned the matter of conduct and holiness before.
And I want to build on it.
And then take us to where this verse was taken from.
Be ye holy, for I am holy.
We are going to look at God's dynamics of holiness.
We're going to see how God demonstrated holiness.
But before I come to that,
I want to give an understanding about this matter of conduct.
I said holiness is not something we got as a gift.
No.
What we got is righteousness.
What we got is grace.
So I am not a sinner.
I am not to be righteous.
Positionally before God.
I am righteous.
I am a child of God.
I am not somebody.
Look, that is a failure.
He said, I am more than conqueror.
So I am not a failure.
The believer is not somebody struggling with sin.
It's not. God, please help me. No, that is what I want to show you how that happens.
Now, when righteousness was given, together with that righteousness, abundance of grace was given.
For what purpose?
Look at Titus chapter 2.
I will come back to 1 Peter.
14, 15, 16 today.
But I want to do something in Titus.
Just to make reference to that grace.
Please, I want you to read this scripture as I read.
Because we are talking about conduct.
It's about conduct.
We were given righteousness and grace.
Now look at it.
It is very simple.
I want us to look at this verse.
Within the context of this verse.
So that we can understand the purpose of grace.
Look at Titus chapter 2.
Let's take our reading to verse 1.
I will not try to do any exposition.
But please, just follow the context of the reading.
Till we get to verse 16.
Follow the context of the reading.
But as for you,
Who is this?
Believers or unbelievers?
Huh?
This was meant for believers.
It was written to Titus.
Paul was telling Titus.
What is to do?
Who said, but as for you.
He was telling Titus.
Do you agree with me?
Are we together?
He said, but as for you.
Speak these things.
Which are proper for sound doctrine.
If you want to speak.
They don't have proper conduct, although they are believers.
And sometimes I say this in two ways.
I will try and translate it in English.
A woman, you know.
And he said that she does not have a home.
She cannot stay successfully in a marriage.
A woman that has successfully in a marriage.
I say it the other way.
For the male gender, that is what you don't conduct yourself properly.
You said everybody is at war with you.
Opolopo, afowofa, lo pomo eda.
What I mean by that, many times.
It is our fault to conduct ourselves.
That destroys us.
Everything is about prayer.
God grant me favor.
God grant me this.
Your conduct, so many things about you.
As I'm speaking now, I still remember.
How God grant me these things.
Gradually, when I was very young.
A young man, one of us then.
He just came to me.
I said, he does not understand these people.
This is one of our sisters.
He went to our house.
It's one of our teenagers.
When he got there, he met different people in the front of the house.
He just passed by them.
You know, this face, my face, my face.
That's where the sister was living.
So people were at the front of the house, at the veranda.
We were talking.
He just passed through the entrance, they are in the middle.
They were sitting like this, just passed through.
And went inside to look for the sister.
She knocked.
There was no response.
But the door was not locked.
So, why didn't she respond?
She now walked back to come and meet the outside.
He now said, please, this is where she is.
They just look at him and continue what they were doing.
So when he left the place,
we leave not too far from that sister.
He now came to me.
He was not narrating what happened.
They are wicked people.
So I was just asking them about this.
I said, what happened?
He met them outside, walked in.
I said, bro, I think you missed the point.
You were walking in front of somebody's house and you get to greet.
You are not for the God's sake.
In case you want to preach to them.
What does it mean to say? I just came to see somebody. You know where they are going.
I said, so they are not wicked people.
I said, you ignored them.
And they also ignored you.
They have not done what is right.
We don't pay you for evil. But it is the consequence of the seed you sow.
You cannot sow mango and reap apple.
If you will get that, it's only in God's kingdom.
That we are sinners.
And the offender came to die for the offense.
But in the world,
it's an eye for an eye.
It is in the kingdom that you find the different kind of life.
Truth for truth.
It is in God's kingdom.
That we know that we belong to God.
They don't know those things.
You slap me, I slap you.
That's what they know, that's what they think is the law of the world.
So you have not acted correctly.
What am I talking about conduct?
What are we going to show you as we read?
Is that the first thing Paul...
Open words, matter of what?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine has to do with being sound.
When it comes to teaching, lifestyle.
When teaching does not relate to lifestyle, does not change your lifestyle.
It is not sound.
Anything that does not change,
if you have bad conduct.
He said you are a believer.
You are covetous, you are full of love.
I don't love that.
He said this thing is moving.
That is not sound.
Now, let's go.
He said, but that's for you.
Speak the things that come from doctrine.
Now look at the lesson you went to.
I want you to look at the rebel in behavior.
Not slanderous.
Not giving too much wine.
Teachers of good things, that they admonish younger women
to love their husband,
to love their children,
to be discreet,
chaste,
homemakers,
good,
obedient to their own husband,
that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
Likewise, exhort.
The young men
to be sober-minded.
In all things,
showing yourself to be a pattern of good works.
Showing yourself to be a pattern of good works.
In doctrine, showing integrity.
Reference, incorruptibility.
Sound truth.
That cannot be condemned.
That one who is an opponent
may be ashamed.
Having nothing to say of you.
Exhort bond servants
to be obedient
to their own masters
to be well pleasing
in all things, not asking back.
Not precisely that may adorn the God of God,
our Savior in all things.
Please, everything that was said here is about what?
From that verse to that verse, is about what?
How could you contend themselves, isn't it?
And what is he saying?
He's saying how they should behave.
Is that not what he's saying?
Is that not what he's saying?
Now, please look at what follows.
Why should they behave that way?
Why should they behave that way?
Verse 11.
Why should they behave that way? What is the purpose of grace? Grace
that
is received. In Romans 5:17,
he said, those who have abundant grace
and the gift of righteousness.
Live.
I think
let me quote
let
that.
Me quote
I want to I quote want to the exact that thing that
Romans 5:17.
Let me go there. I want to read that.
He said, if by one man offense, death to that one man,
much more do we see abundance of grace.
And the gift of righteousness, life through that one man, Jesus Christ.
So what is the essence of that grace?
From that title that we read.
Brethren, can we make comments?
So that we can live soberly, righteously.
So what are you saying, that the young woman?
To obey the husband, tell the young men to have integrity.
Not to be a liar, not to be this, not to be that.
Is it asking for grace to do it?
Is he saying that you should be able to do this?
Why?
Because salvation has a right for you.
If you are right,
they will be saying, give me grace not to respect people, give me grace not to obey my husband, give me grace to love my wife, give me grace to love my wife, that's not sound.
The teacher is to tell people that you are free to make you right.
What can help all that man? They have the quality, they come, 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 bonus.
For the grace of God that brings salvation as appeared to all men.
And that grace teaches us that we should deny ungodliness and worldliness.
That we should live
We should live
in the presence of God.
You see,
you see, the matter come.
Please, please,
where did we put our hope?
Where did we put our hope?
In the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Please,
it's about the power of God
again.
No.
That is why I tell people.
When you become a believer,
you are not a believer.
It means what you are putting up on. In fact, the more you trust in God
to keep them for better for your life.
Because we cannot even keep them.
Can we keep our life?
Can we keep up our life?
We cannot.
So he says,
looking for that blessed hope.
He said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of Jesus Christ,
who gave himself for us,
that might redeem us from every rot.
Please look at what that scripture says.
Who gave himself for us,
that might redeem us from what?
Endless tears.
And purify for himself.
Purify for himself.
His own special people.
Zealous of good works.
Look at what follows.
Please, brethren.
What follows in verse 15?
What follows in verse 15?
He said, speak these things.
Exhort, rebuke.
With all authority.
Let no man despise you.
The matter of conduct, brethren,
is something we must speak.
We must
exhort.
That is the first thing.
That's why I tell people.
You cannot rebuke people you are not teaching.
Or else you will get insult.
And that's why I don't rebuke unbelievers.
I try to enlighten them.
When I get to clap, I see a girl almost completely naked.
I don't say, what is wrong with you?
Are you so stupid?
Because it may call
you back.
How did you see
it? Why didn't you close your eyes?
And you say, I said, I told you,
don't rebuke this corner.
For you will get insult for it.
They don't fear God.
But for the person I'm discipling,
the person I'm exhorting,
I'm teaching,
I can rebuke.
And that's the pattern.
Let us exhort the brethren.
Let's teach them.
Those who are teaching.
Teaching is not working.
They move to rebuking.
If you do that,
let me go
and despise you.
Tell him that you want to despise you because you correct.
But these are important things.
What I'm trying to say today is that
we receive grace
so that what?
Our conduct can be holy.
That's where I'm going.
That's where I'm going.
So we are going back to that Peter now.
With the book of grace
is in relation to our conduct.
The purpose of grace
is in relation to our conduct.
We have received abundant grace so that our conduct can be correct.
We have received abundant grace so that when people meet us, they can say yes.
These are believers.
These are Christians.
These are people who are believers.
By our conduct.
Now that is what.
I'm going to that picture that we are looking at.
First Peter chapter two.
That's our focus for today.
Because I just went to Titus to establish something.
Where am I now?
First Peter, let me get back there.
First Peter 1, verse 14, 15.
He said, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former laws in your ignorance.
Let us not begin as ignoramus, don't live that way.
But as God is holy,
you also be holy in all your conduct.
Are you seeing that?
Please. In how many of our conduct can we change the translation for that?
But as God is holy.
You also be holy in all your conduct.
That is in the way you behave.
In the way you behave.
Let it not be according to your ignorance.
Pashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemashemash
you should not talk like unbelievers.
He says, as obedient children,
you have been made.
Don't let them understand that power that made you a child of God also made you to have power to write.
But we are slow to say, I have the ability to live right.
That is what I am talking today among the complete believers.
We'll be talking about God, God, grace to live right.
But we are
going to see
John
the child
of
God
and
born again.
The promise of God are mine.
Abraham
are
mine. This one talk about them as something automatic and immediate.
When you go to living right,
you'll be talking
as something
that is
completely
possible.
Something you need to be prepared again
under 20 years
to receive the
blood to live right.
We don't talk about who have received the ability
and let me tell you,
as a man think it.
So he is.
The more you think you cannot live right.
The more you think God will not want you to live right.
The more you never live right.
But the more you realize that God has told you to live right.
The more you realize the capacity to obey God.
The more you discover.
Because the Bible says,
with the heart,
man believes
to righteousness.
With the mouth,
confession is made
unto salvation.
We begin to believe the righteous.
And we begin to
seem to be
righteous.
Let me see what NLT says.
But now
you must be holy in everything you do.
But now you must be holy in everything you do.
As God.
Who chose you to be his children
holy?
That's NLT.
Let me see how NLT put it.
But just as he who called you holy.
So be holy in all you do.
Can we have amplified?
Yes, verse 15.
Be what?
Be holy yourself in all your conduct.
Be set apart from the world.
By your godly character and moral courage.
These are important things for believers to know.
The way people talk about living right is like something we need to learn to come.
Receive another kind of encounter with God to live right.
And that is why sometimes when people talk about sanctification, being set apart from God.
I keep saying that being set apart from God begins at the point of being born again.
Because what happened to you at the point of being born again?
It's not something you really understand what happened.
So that on a daily basis you are growing.
As you meditate on the word of God,
you begin to correct your life.
Against the backdrop of the word of God.
On and on.
What should be increasing in you is the knowledge of the truth.
The more you know the truth, this is what I'm supposed to be.
You're supposed to be like that.
But what you find today is a collection of believers.
That are lacking in conduct, in character.
And then they start giving excuses.
You know, we are Nigerians, like God understand.
My problem is that we begin to, Bible says,
As obedient children, not live in your former.
You see, there is something that is about the new life should not make us conduct ourselves after.
That is our life should be possible for us.
But today,
I look at you, sometimes between a believer and unbeliever, in conduct,
in speech, in thoughts, in words.
You hardly.
And sometimes,
when you come to dressing,
it is when you are talking about the breast that it will tell you that.
You see, I'm born again.
I met the Lord.
Do you need somebody to tell you to cover your breast?
Does not even nature teach you that?
Animals that open their breasts.
And not feel ashamed.
Is it that the common sense is more common?
The brother said,
demons are so smart that they can make men go naked.
Fashion.
Of course, they are smarter than men.
But the point is, we have to talk about conduct.
Conduct.
You see, why is this so crucial?
Why is this so crucial?
Because I'm God, that by next week God helping us.
We will go into God's dynamics of holiness.
We'll go and look at where this scripture is taken from.
That we are going now.
But as God is holy, you know your conduct.
Because it is written,
be holy, for I am holy.
We are going to sit on this scripture
as from next week.
We'll go to where it is written.
We'll go and look at God's dynamics of holiness.
You go and look at God's dynamics of holiness.
You go and look at verse by verse.
It will make you appreciate how God expects people to conduct themselves.
But for today,
I want to close the matter in verse 17.
I want to close the matter in verse 17.
It says, for it is written,
the only way I am
on Christ for this
thou shalt
judges according to each man's work.
Please, what do you say in that place?
Conduct.
Have you seen it? It says, if we call on the Father, we will judge according to each man's work.
What is the word?
Conduct.
Have you seen it?
Behave.
We're going to type
one time for translation.
It says, conduct yourself.
Through our time of here.
In what?
In fear.
If we call on the Father,
we will be partiality, judging according to this man's work.
Conduct yourself through the time of the year, another translation, please.
Particularly amplified.
NIV.
Have you seen that?
If you do what?
Please come again for us.
Righteousness is about a position. Holiness is about a practical living, everyday life. Righteousness must translate to holiness. Righteousness should translate to a kind of living. If truly you became righteous and you received that abundant grace, it produces a lifestyle. That lifestyle that it produces is what we are calling holiness. He says, if you call on a father who will judge without, he's going to judge without partiality. He's going to judge every man's work. Eh? He's going to be without partiality. He's going to be straightforward. Then be careful. What he's saying is that be careful how you live your life. Be careful what you do. Eh? Why is it important to be careful? Because he has said, I am holy. Be holy. Are you seeing it? That father said what? I am holy. Be what? Be holy. He is the one that says so. I am holy. Be holy. Eh? So anybody that is not conforming to holiness is a spiritual bastard. He's not like his father. I am holy, be holy. And the person that said, I am holy, be holy, is going to judge without partiality. So be careful how you live your life. Be careful to be circumspect. Be careful to live right. Be careful to conduct yourself not after your former life. Eh? Be careful to conduct yourself not after your former life. What are those former life? The lust of the flesh that manifest. Which are these? They are there. There are so many. Galatians wants to know what our former life is. Eh? We know them very, very clearly. Eh? Without any kind of contradiction. We know our former life in our lust, in ignorance. By the word of Galatians, it's very, very clear. I'm going to send you around to that place quickly. And I want to read. Eh? It says the works of the flesh are manifest. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Which are these? Adultery. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Eh? They are evident. Eh? They are evident. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Eh? Sometimes when you read all this Bible English in King James, they are not very, very clear. NLT. Eh? When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your life will produce this evil results. I hope it's clearer. Eh? The evil results. That's what we should not follow again. What are the evil results? Sexual immorality. It's a sign that you're not living as obedient children. Eh? Impure thoughts. Eagerness for lustful pleasure. Eh? Idolatry. Participation in demonic activities. Hostility. Maybe some people are just hostile. Eh? They're just hostile. Okay, you want Rasha? What is my personality? It's the work of the flesh. Hostility. Quarreling. Quarreling. Jealousy. Outburst of anger. Eh? Selfish ambition. Division. People just like to create division. They don't play in uniting people. Eh? The feeling that everyone is wrong except you. Eh? You are the only person that can see things right. Huh? Everyone, if you read that in King James, can you use one word to capture all of that? The feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your whole little group. Huh? NLT again. Envy. Envy. You are not just happy because somebody else is progressing. See, look at him. I know when they gave birth to him. In fact, he's the younger sister of my who all those are coming out. He's the age. Look at him. He's the age of my son. You just look at how he's talking. Almost this is coming out of envy. That is the age of your son. There are so many things that people talk. People know that even age is a gift. Did you choose when you are born? Now, it says envy, drunkenness, white parties. Sometimes you see the kind of white parties even in fellowship. when you want to sing and dance, you say high praises. Sometimes we need to be careful. That's what we call high praises. And you see that the acrobatics among ourselves is more than really praising God. People will shake their body, shake themselves, do everything, and then laugh at themselves. Hey, I say they are praising God. Is it really unto God? I'm not saying that there is no high praise, but there is high praise. David danced and danced when somebody despised him. But I'm only saying that, you see, it says be careful. That's what I'm just trying to say. Be careful. White parties and any other kind of sin, the list is not even it's not even ended yet. If you go to other places, there are other ones. We place, it didn't mention malice. It didn't mention unforgiveness. If you go to other places, you'll find other kinds again. But when we get to, when we want to look at the dynamics of holiness, you will see how God describes conduct in holiness. That's what I trust God will be doing next week. But what I'm concluding with today in that Peter is that he says the person you are calling Father is holy, and he said be holy for I am holy. That's what I'm just trying to say. That person you call Father, that is, it is only in the New Testament, it is grace that makes us to call God Father. Nobody dare call God Father. It is grace. He says we receive the spirit of adoption, that we can now say Father, Father. That liberty to sonship is a liberty to holiness. That's what I'm saying. The person who liberated you is holy, and he said be holy for I am holy. What I'm trying to make you understand is that when the Bible says where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. What he's saying is that where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom to live holy. We have been liberated into holiness. Any liberation that does not produce holy conduct is bondage. It's not true liberation. That's what I'm telling you. That liberation, Abba Father, that freedom we receive is also a release from sinfulness. It's a release from evil. It's a release from lustful lifestyle. It's a release. If it does not release you from that, go and check what you received. We close for today. We take the point. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what we have been exploring. And next week, I trust the Lord. On that, be holy for I am holy, we'll be looking at the dynamics, of holiness. How God demonstrates this matter for us. Praise the Lord. Let's pray this evening as we close. Already 6:30. Let's pray this evening. Let's thank the Lord for how far the Lord could help us. We are trusting the Lord that very soon, we'll try to put this thing on YouTube channel. A camera will be capturing this thing just as we are doing this, and we'll be taking it to our YouTube channel. We trust the Lord that very, very soon we are going to start that, to activate our YouTube channel. So it will just be here like that, everything going on, and then we'll put that to the YouTube channel so that people can also have us. People that want to see pictures and all of that want to see us live can see us live. We trust the Lord that we are coming there very, very soon. Let's pray this evening. The Lord will help us. Talk to the Lord this evening. You have been like, what I'm trying to make you see, that you have been liberated. He who called Father is holy, and he said, "Be holy, for I am holy." That liberation to sonship. If you look at it in Romans chapter 8, he said, "For creation shall be delivered from the corruption to bondage to the glorious liberty of the sons of God." That corruption to bondage is sin. It will be delivered from sinfulness, from bondage that it was caused by sin, to the glorious liberty. The sons of God have been liberated into a new, into a holy life, into a life of righteousness, and they are looking towards a city that is shaped by holiness. That is the glorious liberty, manifestation of the sons of God. Manifestation of the sons of God is a manifestation of holy conduct, a manifestation of kingdom behavior, a manifestation of kingdom lifestyle. Showcasing the holiness of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Lord. Let me invite Sister Comfort to close this meeting today. Come and close the meeting for us today.
Dear Jesus, we are grateful to you for the power of your word to us again this evening. Thank you for where you took us from and where we are now in you. The Bible says that the redemption you gave us is full. That's what the book of Psalms says. It said the redemption is full. It's complete. It's perfect. And you are making us to see that the grace of God that brings salvation to men has been given. It's not to be given. Lord, we are praying, O God, from this word that you have spoken to us today, help us to see the fullness of this redemptive work that we have come to accept in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to see it from every angle. Help us to see it completely, because I know that when we see it, the Bible says, when we shall see him, we shall become like him. Even now, when we see your word the way it is, we will become like it. And so, Father, we are praying singularly today that you will please open our eyes, our inner mind, to see the work of redemption clearly from every angle that concerns our living here in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given. Lord, we are not to seek it. We are not to begin to look for it. It has been given. Help us to see it. Amen. Help us to embrace it. Amen. Help us to activate it in our life and to actualize the purpose for which it is given. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your son that you have used for us again. We are asking the Lord, his eyes shall not be dim. Amen. His mind shall not go blurry. Amen. But Lord, brighter and brighter, you will cause his path to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us pray. Please don't leave us behind. Carry us all along so that we can be blessed by you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The grace together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord.
This message is coming to you from Family Tent Ministry, a Christian ministry involved in enriching the lives of singles and marriage through preaching and teaching of God's word, discipleship, family life enrichment, social and community development, and mission aid. Our regular activities are discipleship class every Monday, 5 p.m., Adolescent and Singles Club every first Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Marriage Forum second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. Family Life Seminars, regular school outreaches, and everyday counseling. For further counseling, you can reach us at our location, Life Camp by the First Bridge, Ilere Community, opposite the Rejoice Filling Station along Ijare Road, Akure, Ondo State, Nigeria. You can also reach us through our social media handles, familytent@yahoo.co.uk, familytentministry01@gmail.com, www.familytentministry.org. Our phone numbers are 0833861136, 0703361 3848. God bless you all.